Welcome to worship with St. Stephen's United Church. Welcome to the second Sunday of Christmas. As you can see today, we will be participating together in the sacrament of Holy Communion. If you haven't already done so, please pause this video so that you can go and prepare the elements of either bread or crackers, and some wine or juice. Would you join me now in the holy greeting? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Happy New Year! Please join me in the call to worship today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, who destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, who has forgiven our sins according to the riches of his grace and has made known to us the mystery of his will. This is our God. Let's worship him together. Please take a little moment to prepare yourselves for the rest of this worship service. Let us pray. Merciful God, we come before you with praise and thanksgiving through Jesus Christ. You have lavished on us every spiritual blessing we could possibly imagine. Before the world was created, you already knew us and loved us. You adopted us as your own children and redeemed us through the blood of Christ. Even more, you have made us your heirs and given us your own Spirit as a sign and guarantee. How we praise you. Open our hearts and minds to your presence among us here. May our worship this morning bring you honor and glory, for you alone are worthy of our praise. Amen. Would you join me in saying the prayer of confession? Lord, we know what you want us to do and the way you would have us live, but time and again we choose to follow our own will rather than yours. In humility, we would claim your forgiveness, and with the aid of your Holy Spirit, we intend to lead new lives fashioned after your dreams for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Christ, God's salvation has come. God's peace comes to us, wiping away our tears, and God's faithfulness takes us by the hand to lead us home. Friends, God has called us. God has chosen us. God has redeemed us, and this is good news for all of creation. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Every month, before we come to the table, we say together one of the great creeds of the Church. Would you join me this month in saying the new creed? We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Today's reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, reading verses 3 through 14. Spiritual blessings in Christ. Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in our union with Christ, He has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. Even before the world was made, God had already chosen us to be His through our union with Christ, so that we would be holy and without fault before Him. Because of His love, God had already decided that through Jesus Christ, He would make us His sons. This was His pleasure and purpose. Let us praise God for His glorious grace, for the free gift He gave us in His dear Son. For by the sacrificial death of Christ, we are set free, that is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God, which He gave to us in such a large measure. In all His wisdom and insight, God did what He had proposed and made known to us the secret plan He had already decided to complete by means of Christ. This plan, which God will complete when the time is right, is to bring all creation together, everything in heaven and on earth, with Christ as its head. All things are done according to God's plan and decision, and God chose us to be His own people in the union with Christ because of His own purpose, based on what He had decided from the very beginning. Let us then, who were the first to hope in Christ, praise God's glory. And you also became God's people when you heard the true message, the good news that brought you salvation. You believed in Christ, and God put His stamp of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit He had promised. The Spirit is the guarantee that we shall receive what God has promised His people, and this assures us that God will give complete freedom to those who are His. Let us praise His glory. Here ends today's gospel. Thanks be to God.
Many of you have had to sit through some of my stories of the trip to Greece that Simon and I were able to tag along on a few years ago. We were on a tour following in the footsteps of St. Paul, and the whole trip was amazing. It has completely transformed the way that I read Paul's writings and read the stories of his life. And so now, this morning, I need to give you fair warning that you are about to hear another story from that trip. So get comfortable. On that tour, we actually visited many of the cities that Paul planted churches in. We did get to Ephesus, the home of the Ephesian Christian community, who were the first people to receive the letter that our scripture reading today has come from. But it's actually not Ephesus that I want to tell you about today. As I've been looking at this reading, it's actually our visit to the ancient ruins of the city of Corinth that has been in my mind. Paul visited Corinth on his second missionary journey, arriving there after having spent some time in Athens. He spent a year and a half in Corinth, living and working as a tent maker and planting a church community that would end up remaining there long after he was gone. Well, thanks to historians, biblical and otherwise, We know quite a bit about Paul's time in Corinth and even about his arrival in the city. So we know that when Paul came to Corinth, he came from Athens by boat. So when he arrived, he would have gotten off that boat and walked the road from the harbor up into the center of town. Now, the geography in Corinth has changed in 2,000 years, and the old harbor is not where it once was. But archaeologists have actually been able to excavate down to the original road that ran from the harbor into town, and they've completely uncovered it. This is actually a picture of that road, standing on it, looking with the harbor behind us, up towards the agora and the marketplace. During our visit to Corinth, we were able to actually walk on that road, on the same road that Paul had walked on. And I have to tell you that for me, doing that was quite the experience. I was surprised by what struck me the most as I walked. At the risk of disappointing you, it wasn't some strong sense of God's presence in that place or inspired leading of the Holy Spirit. Honestly, what really struck me as I walked was that Paul was just a man, entirely human like you and I. Not somehow superhuman as we in the church have sometimes portrayed him. As I walked, I realized that he had walked that same road when he arrived 2,000 years ago nearly. And he must have been praying like mad for the Holy Spirit to continue to lead his steps as he made his way and got settled in that strange place. He had heard God call him to go to Corinth and to share the gospel with the people there. And I'm sure as he arrived, he was deeply aware that all he had was God's grace and the Spirit's leading to rely on as he tried to live out that call. Well, rely on it he did. History has shown that not only was God's grace and the Spirit's leading enough, more than enough, but it was through those things that the Christian church in Corinth came into being and took its place in God's great story of the way he is bringing life to this world through Christ. I guess my realization that day was that perhaps above all else that there is to admire in Paul, it was his seeming complete reliance on God's grace and God's leading in every part of his life of following Jesus. That is what I find the most remarkable about Paul, that absolute reliance on God. He trusted that Jesus had chosen and called him, and he courageously lived out that trust until the end of his days. Remember, Paul's life with Christ began in that dramatic encounter on the Damascus Road that we actually get to read about in Acts chapter 9. He'd been on his way to hunt down some more Christians, something he'd been doing quite a bit of, and to take them to be imprisoned in Jerusalem. That's where he was off to when Christ came and spoke to him and stopped him in his tracks. Now, Paul knew when that happened what he was off to do, and I expect that he probably thought he'd reached his end when Christ came to him, that he would be struck down by God. But Jesus didn't do that. Instead, strangely, in a way that can only be Jesus, he told Paul not that he was about to die, but that he was about to live, because he had been chosen to take his place in God's story, a place that would end up seeing him responsible for sharing that same gospel he had been working so hard to oppose and sharing it far beyond Jerusalem, right around the Mediterranean and beyond. After that experience, Paul knew for the rest of his life that he was a man whose life had been saved by God's grace. And I think that must have marked him deeply and wonderfully, because from that day on, he took his place in God's story, and he dedicated his life to trusting in that grace and sharing it with others. Well, that is all a bit of a long background to bring us to our passage for today. I actually belong to the camp that believe that Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians. It was a letter written to that Christian community that he had founded in Ephesus, a community he had deep, deep ties with. And it was written to help those people to remember and to understand the magnificence of God's grace and God's purposes in this world, so that, like Paul, they could each live into their part in God's work. Our reading today is from the very beginning of that letter. And we, as we heard, Paul begins with those soaring affirmations. He takes us up into the grand arc of God's story. He reminds us that since before creation, we have been chosen by God. That through Christ's work, we have been graciously redeemed and adopted into God's family. And that with the gift of the Holy Spirit living within us, we have each been guaranteed our place in the life and the renewed creation God is bringing into being. These words, they practically sing the big story of God's mission in the world. They make this grand movement, starting with before creation and going all the way through to the great day when God's dreams for us and for this world will finally be fulfilled and completed. Paul wants people to see the cosmic story God has been unfolding since before the beginning of time. And he wants us to see ourselves, each individually, as having an essential part in that story. Paul knew that God had chosen him to be a part of it. His whole life since that day on the Damascus Road had been a testimony to that. And he was also very clear that his calling was to help others to see that their lives were the same, that just as he had been chosen by God for the work he was being led to do, so too were those folks in first century Ephesus, and so too has every follower of Jesus been, who's ever heard or read this letter since. Friends, Paul writes, God chose each of us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Or as Peterson puts it in the Message, he had us in mind. He'd settled on us as the focus of his love to be made whole and holy by his love. Paul's dramatic experience on the Damascus Road helped him to always know this and to hold on to it as he followed Jesus' call to him each day. And while you or I may not have had quite the same kind of life-altering encounter with the resurrected Christ that Paul did, the truth is that we are every bit as chosen as he was, every bit as loved, and we have access to all of the grace of God that he ever did. Friends, you have been chosen by God, chosen to take your part in this amazing story of God redeeming, restoring, and renewing this old world. So while we may not be getting off an ancient ship and walking on that stone road up into Corinth, we do each walk our own road every day. And we do so with the same reality that God has chosen and blessed us. God has swept us into his arms and his wonderful plans, whether we're aware of that every day or not. And like that old apostle, we are people who have been saved by God's grace. and people who live by that same grace. And those are precious gifts, gifts beyond measure, gifts that, as Paul well knew, are really all we ever need. Amen. Friends, let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, as we come today, emerging from a year that has not been the easiest, and we now head into the new year before us, we are so mindful of and grateful for your presence and your grace in our lives. Thank you for the ways that you have sustained and supported us. Thank you for the ways we have seen you working around and within us. And thank you also for those ways you have been working that we haven't been able to easily see, but were there nonetheless. We are so grateful for your presence and accompaniment in our lives, whether it is seen or unseen by us. We trust you and your promise that you will continue to be with us as we move into this new year, a year that we pray will see us turn a corner and move us beyond this pandemic reality we have been enduring. God, we find ourselves in another period of heightened uncertainty, and that makes us anxious for the future. Help us to do as you encourage us, to bring our cares to you in prayer, and to try our best to leave them with you, trusting that in your love you will answer them. Help us to see this as a time when we have a chance to deepen our trust and faith in you, to draw deeply from the peace you always offer us, and to see the light that always shimmers, even in the darkest times. Help us to carry the gifts of hope, peace, love, and joy with us beyond Advent and Christmas and into the months to come. And help us to lean even more heavily into this amazing gift of bringing our delights, our cares, and our fears to you, and receiving a strong sense of your love as we do. God, we pray for all those who find themselves without adequate shelter, food, and the necessities of life. We pray for warm, safe places for folks to sleep, for nutritious, warm food to fill empty stomachs, for kind and compassionate people to listen and sit with those who are lonely and afraid. We pray that we might be open to the ways we can help those who are vulnerable and in need. We pray for medical care for those who need it urgently. And we pray for those who are providing that care, that you would sustain them, that they would experience immense support from their communities, and that they would get the rest they need to be able to stay healthy themselves in body, mind, and soul. God, we are so very grateful for all of the ways that your grace comes to us. Help us to really be able to recognize it, and help us to live into it and share it with others, knowing that in doing so, your love is doing its restorative work in this world. In the name of Emmanuel, the source of our peace and our hope, we pray. Amen. Dear friends, welcome once again to Jesus' table. Jesus' table that is here in our sanctuary, Jesus' table that we believe extends into your home today. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to all. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to God. Let us give thanks to God. It is right to give God our thanks and praise. It is right indeed that we should praise you, God of love, our source and our fulfillment, for you create all things, and in you we live and move and have our being. When the times had at last grown full and the earth had ripened in abundance, you made us in your image for yourself. And even though we turn from you, again and again you call us to yourself, and in every age promise liberation. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, you embraced a people as your own to rear them in your way of compassionate love. From your own being, you sent Jesus among us, incarnate of the Holy Spirit and born of Mary, our sister. Jesus revealed your care for all you have made and showed us your way of reconciliation. Looking forward to the joy of new life, Jesus suffered the pangs of the cross, and in rising again became the firstborn of the renewed family. You sent your Holy Spirit and gave birth to us, your church. Your Spirit stays to nurture and to guide us. Now we join at your table, and with all creation we sing praise for your unending love as we say, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. To you indeed be glory, Almighty God, because on the night before he died, your Son Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. After supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me. And so in this great sacrament, we celebrate and proclaim the mystery of our faith that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come in glory. Therefore, loving God, recalling now Christ's death and resurrection, we ask you to accept this, our sacrifice of praise. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and our celebration, that we may be fed with the body and blood of your Son and be filled with your life and goodness. Strengthen us to do your work and to be your body in the world. Unite us in Christ and give us your peace. Through your Holy Spirit, burning as a flame, gentle as a dove, may we who receive these gifts live lives of justice, love, and prayer, and be a voice for those who are not heard. In union with your whole church, we worship you, O God, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing, honor, and glory be yours here and everywhere, now and forever. Amen. Let's say together the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for you. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you now to consume the elements you have in your home. Thank you. Let's say together our prayer after communion. Infinite yet intimate God, in this meal we have celebrated your presence with us. May we grow in the divine life of Christ, who so humbly and wonderfully shared our human life. Fill us with joy and send us out to share this good news with others. We ask this through Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Amen.
Your generous tithes and offerings to the work of this church are very gratefully received. Would you pray the prayer with me now over these gifts, giving them once more to God's purposes? Jesus, Son of God, we count our many blessings and present these our offerings so that through the work of your church, others may come to know you and discover the fullness of life you offer. In your name we pray. Amen.
Friends, go out and share God's purposes which have been shown to us in Jesus. Share them with others by the way you live, by the words on your lips, the deeds of your hands, the prayers of your minds, and through the love in your hearts. And may you know deep in your heart the grace of Christ to redeem you, the love of God to support you, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to accompany you this day and forevermore. Amen.